Hello, and welcome to EDUCAUSE Now. On this episode of EDUCAUSE Now, we talk about the disruptive forces facing the future of higher ed IT. We also have an interview with Lori McElroy, Information Security Officer at Texas State University San Marcos. She'll talk about her approach to educating faculty and students about information security. The future of higher education is, according to some, being shaped by a collection of disruptive forces, forces that will require a new approach to resourcing and providing IT services.
I think of disruptive forces as starting like breezes, and by the time they're done, they're a gale force wind. And the trick is to figure out how to tack against that, how to harness that energy, and use it to move in the direction you want to move in.
That's James Hilton, Vice President and CIO at the University of Virginia. He describes several types of disruptive forces facing higher ed IT. One of the first is unbundling. Unbundling works like this. When you used to buy records, remember those? You'd buy a bundle of songs. Some songs would be great, some not so great, and most would be in between. This was the core model for the record industry up until just a few years ago, to deliver a variety of songs of varying quality for one price. But now you can buy single songs, thereby unbundling the album. And this has created a fundamental change in the way music is bought and sold. Universities are facing some of the same unbundling. Again, James Hilton.
If you think about what a university delivers these days, it delivers a whole bunch of things. So it delivers classes and drama and library resources and football and all kinds of things. And it does it for pretty much one price. Well, if you think about the pressure on the internet, unbundling is going to be huge.
The counterforce to this unbundling, according to Brad Wheeler, Vice President for IT and CIO at Indiana University, is quality. He says while students will continue to have more choice for more pieces of the puzzle, there's something to be said for institutions that do it all.
Brand is going to continue to matter. You look at everything that becomes, quote, commoditized over time. People still flock to quality and brand. And I think that's going to continue to matter because when somebody's wanting a job, they're applying somewhere. Certainly one sort is, do they have a bachelor's degree? Do they have a master's degree? That may take a big pile of applicants to a smaller one. But then once someone's in that pile, there is some difference in stature and perceived overall educational experience. And I am referring to the current marketplace perception that I think will continue for some period of time.
Another disruptive force is commoditization. For-profit educators like Phoenix University aren't just committed to online and access everywhere education. They are committed to standardization or commodification of education materials and delivery, creating course syllabi, notes, lesson plans, and more that match exactly across the entire organization. Brad Wheeler says, to the extent that this sort of commodification improves learning outcomes, traditional higher ed needs to take notice.
We have often allowed, almost to a fault, faculty autonomy in classroom, in the choices of educational resources, topics, how things are taught and delivered. However, excessive standardization can ultimately unwind innovation, creativity, learning. And so I think that's the counterforce where universities continue to be the strongest because it is faculty diversity that sometimes innovates.
When I talk about the University of Phoenix, I get, not to worry. It's crap. Uninformed, by the way. If you actually want to know what institutions are focused most right now on quality and improving quality, I would bet that the University of Phoenix is way more systematically involved in that than most of our own institutions. Most of our own institutions, in fact, take the position, faith-based, that what we do is better. And while I believe that it's better, I'm pretty convinced that faith-based isn't going to work it pretty soon. We're going to have to have evidence on why it's better or what it is that we do that's unique.
Although these disruptions can cause a feeling of chaos and panic among institutions, there are disruptive examples that provide real opportunities. For instance, the Creative Commons, a disruptive force in the field of copyright and usage for images, data, music, and more. The Creative Commons has allowed the blunt instrument of copyright to be sharpened. Same with open source software. it has allowed institutions to collaborate and share resources to sharpen the functions of everything from desktop to enterprise-level software. So what strategy will help through these disruptions for the future of higher ed? The answer? Collaborations and alignment.
But competitive advantage going forward is going to depend on picking the right collaborations, because the scale now is larger than single institutions. And the importance of alignment. All of this is a very relationshipy kind of thing. But if you aren't aligned with the core mission of the university, which is teaching and research and public service, it's not just bumper stickers. That's the core mission of the university. If you're not aligned with that, you will be outsourced.
If higher education was bought by someone wealthy and they came in and had absolute control, they bought it all. They bought Duke. They bought Harvard. They bought Indiana University, Wisconsin, Ivy Tech Community College. They own it all. And they said there's only two things you need to know. One, I'm not going to change academics. You can all keep your trustees and you can teach your courses and degrees, and that will all run research unchanged. But in terms of the cost of providing the administrative structure and systems, I'm going to consolidate and wring the efficiencies out of that, which is what any other industry does when it goes through a consolidation. That's what higher ed has thus far not done. We continue to operate highly redundant cost centers that only have nuances of differentiation. I don't think the finances of higher ed will sustain that for the next decade.
Brad Wheeler and James Hilton.
Catch up on the latest issues in higher ed IT by tuning into free interactive EDUCAUSE Live web seminars. I'm Steve Worona, EDUCAUSE Director of Policy and Networking Programs and the host of EDUCAUSE Live. Join me, along with thought leaders in our community, for hour-long discussions on topics such as web accessibility, intellectual property and copyright, and digital visual literacy. Learn about upcoming seminars or listen to our archives at www.educause.edu/live.
Ethan Benetton, Director of Computer User Services at Reed College, recently interviewed Lori McElroy, Information Security Officer at Texas State University San Marcos, on her approach to security education for students and faculty. Here's his interview.
Thanks for joining us today, Lori.
Sure. Glad to be here.
So I always feel that anybody with information security in their title just has their hands full with a lot of strategic stuff on the one side all the time, but also a whole lot of burning fires. Why don't we get those out of the way first? What are the fires for you right now? What are the threats that are coming down the pike?
Yeah, some of the biggest threats today really don't necessarily have to do with the technical side of it. Have to do more with the human side of it. And that's talking about security awareness. A lot of our threats today come from lack of security awareness. So someone may expose data because they were unaware that data needed to be protected in a specific way. So the way we're combating that, of course, is increasing that awareness at every opportunity we get. We use every method we can and try to reach out to as many folks as possible. You know, the technical threats continue to evolve, and they will, and they always will, but the technical protections usually evolve along with them, maybe not quite the same pace, but fairly close behind. So today, those threats aren't as large as they were 10 years ago, as far as the technical threats go.
It sounds like no matter what the technical environment is, at some stage, there's somebody making a decision about how they're going to act, whether it's whether they email a piece of data to somebody or encrypt the stuff on their computer or something like that. So when you say that you work with people and reach out, you spend a lot of your time thinking about education.
Yeah, I guess so. Thinking about it and doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of different outreach opportunities on our campus. And for example, every October, we support the National Cybersecurity Awareness mm-hmm. Month by doing our own version of that. And we have an awareness day, which is kind of like an internal security conference for students, faculty, staff, and community members. And we bring people in, get them excited about security. We do games and giveaways, and we have speakers come from, you know, expert speakers from all areas in the security field, and we get a lot of interest and excitement there. This year, we just finished it up a couple weeks ago. We had over 800 people attend, and about 85% are students, and then quite a few faculty and staff. It's really a great outreach for students. That's primary. That's how it started.
That's terrific. I must say, I think about information security, it didn't immediately leap to thinking about games and prizes.
Yeah.
And that's a terrific approach and excitement, all of which we brought in there. So what were the highlights this year? What was your favorite event this year?
Well, you know, I guess here is one of the big highlights. We had one of our speakers from our university police department talking about identity theft. And during his session, about halfway through, they're each about an hour long, there were some students gathered around. A lot of them, it's really informal, so they come and go. And there were some girls standing by the entrance into the speaker room. And I just walked up and I struck up a conversation and I said, you know, how are you doing? What are you enjoying the most? And she said, you know, and she got this real serious look on her face. She said, I have learned more today than I ever have in information security. I said, really? So it piqued my interest. I said, tell me, what have you learned? And she said, I just learned about password protection and passphrases and how to change my password and make it more secure. And she was excited about it. And that was really a highlight for me, you know, seeing that light come on in someone's eyes. So, and it made sense to her, and something she could go back and use right away.
That's terrific, because one of the things that we often encounter is this kind of sense of a lack of power and confusion. And so it sounds like this particular student felt empowered to take charge of her own information security. That's just a wonderful win. Congratulations.
Well, it was
you got one.
It was really a highlight of the day. And then of course, there was a lot. And we had two different tracks this year. We tried something new, and we did a technical track because we do have quite a few students who are technically minded, as well as our technical support staff on campus. And that was really a big hit, and I was quite pleased there. And we had people come in and talk about securing your wireless networks and, you know, ways to break into a wireless network, but also the protections and how to stop that from happening. So it was some very useful information, I think. I had many people come up to me and say, wow, I know what to do now, and I didn't before I attended that session. And so that is probably the most rewarding thing, is really hearing how it's changed someone's approach to protecting themselves and their information, because that's really what it's all about.
Lori McElroy and Ethan Benetton. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to find out more about the people and stories you heard on the podcast, visit our show notes at www.educause.edu/now. You can subscribe to our RSS feed on that page as well, or search for us on iTunes under EduCause. I'm Jerry Bain for EduCause. Thanks for listening.